And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Hello, everyone. We're waiting on Mark. He'll be here in just a moment. Today, Mark has a wonderful show for you. It's all about Palin and why people want to split the vote. The Hillary supporters who want Ms. Palin . It just astounds me. I'm speechless, and that's saying something. Why would you choose Ms. Palin, who has no idea of what she's doing for vice president, over Barack Obama? McCain won't live long enough, I don't think, to continue to be the president. So that would put her in the highest power in our country. She's not capable of doing it. People who find her attractive, especially with the speech that she gave at the RNC, which was written by Matthew Scully, who also wrote for George Bush, who also takes his talking points from people such as John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, liberals, people who wanted our country to have more of a choice. Mark, what do you think about it?
I apologize for coming in a bit late. I hope my too hot. Let me know when it's changed or not.
Actually, you're a little quiet.
For quiet. That may be the first time I've been called quiet in my life.
Oh, that's wonderful. You're coming up.
Well, I've increased it. You'll let me know when to increase it more. I got to say, Annie, I have been so disappointed in my fellow Americans, and I don't mean to stereotype people here, but I guess I'm mad at white women, or to be more specific, that 10% of white women who, at least according to the Washington Post, have switched sides in the last week or two. Now, I have to think that that's a temporary thing, that they're going to come back, that they have to know that, if they supported Hillary Clinton, gosh knows, Sarah Palin is the flip side. She's the anti-Hillary. She's against everything Hillary was for. But I got to say, I was surprised. I didn't see it coming.
I don't think that... I wonder if the information that we're getting is actual. I can't understand.
I think it is, because I've been talking with some white women.
Come.
It sounds terrible. I'm totally being, but and obviously we're talking about, even the Washington Post is just talking about 10%. So I really should just say the untalented 10%. There's a famous expression by W.B. Du Bois, the talented tenth. This is the untalented tenth. But I have some friends and who will remain nameless to protect their guiltiness.
their identity.
Well, I have a very good friend, and I won't say her name. But she and I have been having... Now, she was a Hillary Clinton diehard through and through. And we've been talking all throughout the primaries, and as listeners know, I was someone who was really on the fence for most of the time, and then I came out for Barack Obama, but it was a very close decision for me. This wasn't an easy decision for me. It wasn't a slam dunk by any stretch, because I have a lot of respect for Hillary Clinton. But I did come out for Barack Obama, and she was a little mad at me. But I kept saying to her, look, 95% of their positions are the same, and we can argue about, tiny differences, and you should. That's what a primary is for. But at the end of the day, we're all on the same side. We just have very slightly different, you know, techniques and ways to look at this thing. And so I've been arguing with her, and, well, she had just about come around. In fact, after the Democratic Convention, after, yes, Hillary's speech, she said, okay, all right, I got it, I'm on board. And then a week later, I hear from her, well, I guess now that he's chosen Sarah, I have to go for him. And I was, again, not saying her name, I was, person's name, yeah, I'm going to give her a name, just so I, let's call her, I don't know, Wanda. That'll be like white woman.
Okay.
We'll call her Wanda. That's not her name. But I was like, Wanda, what are you talking about? Sarah Palin has ovaries. True. But she has none of the political positions that I know you care about. I know you're pro-choice. I know you care about health care. You've talked about health care. You want universal health care. I know you care about our energy crisis. You care about all these things. And she said, yes, but I care about the glass ceiling. And I'm like, okay, I mean, I care about the glass ceiling, too. You care about the glass ceiling. Barack Obama cares about it. Joe Biden cares about it. I haven't seen anything to suggest that Sarah Palin will do anything for women but be a stereotype. Anyway, I'm pushing her, and she's moving slowly. I think I can get her across the finish line by Election Day. But I'm curious, really, if you've had, Agnes, some of those same kinds of conversations.
I have.
Tell me about the people you've talked to.
Sarah Palin tries the damsel in distress theory, looking at people, you know, I'm a mother, I bake cookies, and I'm
right.
All about our country. And that's what's appealing to a lot of women. But the thing of it is, it's all an act.
Well, I'm sure she bakes cookies.
I'm sure she does, and so does Cindy
McCain. It's in the middle of her wolf hunting.
Well, so
I was just reading today that there's a website by Alaskans. It's interesting. Of course, Agnes's husband, Bob Kincaid, calls himself the hillbilly elitist. And I'd like to remind people, I'm the one who first used that phrase. I use it about him, and he's taken it. He's run with it, and I'm proud of it. I just want to make clear I coined the phrase. But anyway, but he is a classic hillbilly elitist. I was reading the websites of some other hillbilly elitists, and these are Alaskans. They put up this website long before she was chosen. They are scientists, and they're trying to stop aerial hunting of wolves and polar bears. Apparently, Alaskans have voted on this twice, and they voted it down twice. But Palin spent $400,000 of taxpayer money to go out and advocate for people going up in airplanes and shooting wildlife. And, you know, look, I respect that rednecks or hillbillies or however you want to call them, rural people, let's use a non-pejorative term, like to go out and hunt from time to time. I actually think it's okay as long as, you know, they're
not... That's spotlighting, Mark.
They're not decimating the population. You say that's spotlighting?
That's spotlighting, and they do it sort of like Cheney does from the side of a car.
What? Tell me what spotlighting is. I don't know that term.
Well, it's where some fellas get together and they jump in the pickup truck and they take lanterns or some form of light source that they can spotlight on the sides of the roads and catch deer or whatever they're after and shoot it while they're moving. It's not hunting.
Well, you say, do deer run toward the light? Or it's just unfair because the deer used to cover of darkness?
Deer will stop as soon as a light is shined on them. That's one of the reasons that you have to be very careful driving at night.
I see.
Because
I admit,
stop.
I am not a rural person. I'm learning. I'm learning from another hillbilly elitist who's on the phone right now.
Now, I'm not a hillbilly elitist. I'm just the girl next door.
Okay.
I don't shoot wild animals. I might take some pictures, you know.
But I don't either. I wouldn't do that. But I guess, so I see what you're saying about spotlighting is it's kind of like when Dick Cheney grabs a bunch of pheasant and or quail or whatever and brings them with him in a truck and then, you know, lets them go in half a second and shoots them.
Exactly.
It's not even, I mean, it's very different from a hunter who, you know, hides behind trees and tries to quietly creep up on a deer. I mean, I don't like any of that for me personally, but as an American, I have to say that, well, people have a right to do that. I mean, as long as they're just sort of playing fair, I guess is the right word.
Well, I have nothing against hunting. If you're doing that and you're going to use the meat, if you're going to eat it, then that's fine. But just doing it for sport and going out and killing animals just for the fun of it, to me, that's a little bit of a bloodthirst that I worry about the person who does that.
Well, the worst part about it is that polar bears are an endangered species. They're already really suffering by global warming. One of the things polar bears do is they float on those little ice floes, and you capture seals and things like that, and they're being decimated because the Arctic ice is breaking up because of our dear president. And so not only does Palin want to take the polar bears off the endangered species list, but she recognizes that it's hard to hunt polar bears in some places, like when they're floating on ice, because, you know, if you go on a boat, they get away.
Right.
So that's why she supports planes flying down and shooting the bear from a plane, which to me, I guess, is spotlighting Rambo style.
Well, she's the Cruella de Vil of Alaska.
I'm going to post on my website, I'll do it in the break, this link, because it's very interesting. These people have been opposed to Sarah Palin long before she was chosen as vice president. These are Alaskans. Some of them are scientists. Some of them are ordinary people. Apparently, they've had two votes in Alaska to shut down this practice, which interests me, because I would think Alaska would be full of hunters and, you know, but apparently Alaskans do appreciate their wilderness, and they are the last, really the last state in the United States that still has significant pure wilderness. And they wanted to protect it, and Palin wants to shoot them all down, I guess.
Well, Palin was also for seceding from the United States also.
Well, that's true. her husband was a member for many, many years. She attended three conventions, including just 6 months ago giving the welcoming speech and telling Alaskans how they can be self-sufficient, which is funny because I've never heard, I don't know, a Virginian governor or a West Virginian governor say, our state should be self-sufficient. Most states understand that we get oranges, you know, from Florida and wine from California and apples from Washington and oil from Alaska. I mean, I thought these 50 states were in this together. I thought this was, you know, resolved 150 years ago.
Well, having a vice president that wants to succeed from the United States, isn't that a little dangerous?
Well, come on, Agnes. Right now, we have a vice president who committed treason and shot a man in the face.
Yeah,
so
but
come on, you know. I mean, as vice presidents go, I think seceding from the union is par for the course.
Well, if you can't get reality TV, it's better to watch it in real life.
Well, but you know, it's interesting that you bring up reality TV because that's the article I was reading today about Sarah Palin, and it was that women relate to her, and I'd like to hear from some of our callers actually to see if they agree with this, particularly women callers, but that women relate to her because, well, even her in her flaws, she's a mom, she's flawed, she has a pregnant daughter, she's, you know, she herself eloped and apparently was unmarried and pregnant, and women feel for her almost like this article said, the sympathetic character in the reality show, who you know is imperfect, but you relate to.
No, see, right there. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but...
No, go right ahead.
She's a mother. She supposedly had five children. Supposedly, I say that because I can't imagine a woman with a high-risk pregnancy endangering her fetus in order to get on a plane after she's made a speech and fly to wherever to have this child, who she knew.
After her water broke, she flew 4,000 miles from Anchorage to Texas to Anchorage, a distance, by the way, greater than the distance from Chicago to London. After her water broke, because now Agnes, because her husband said you can't have fish pickers born in Texas.
Right.
That's a great quote. They had to be born in Alaska.
Well,
even if you risk a child's life.
No, here's the problem with that. I had a high-risk pregnancy when I was younger.
Yeah.
I had identical twins, and I lost them. Now, given that I've been there, done that, and got that T-shirt, this is a load of crap. For one, when you have a high-risk pregnancy and you know that there's something wrong with your child, if you have any maternal instinct, then you're going to want to protect that child. Evidently, it was not in the child's best interest. But here she is, pro-life. To me, it sounds like if she was pregnant, that she was trying to have an abortion the easy way.
So you think she was striving for some kind of miscarriage?
If she was pregnant. Everything,
I haven't thought about that.
Everything that I've seen leads me to believe she wasn't pregnant. Now.
Oh, no, I don't think it's her daughter's child.
No, I didn't even say it was her daughter's. Look, the birth record isn't even on file yet.
What are you suggesting?
Well, I'm suggesting that maybe, you know, maybe some of this was in the running. I don't think McCain picked her. I think that Rove did.
Well, I agree with. I agree that Karl Rove picked her, and sad to say, he is an evil genius. Listen, I have never said Rove is stupid. I said that about Bush. But Karl Rove and Dick Cheney are the evil geniuses that have been running this country for the last 8 years. He's a very smart man, and sadly, I fear that he's made a very smart pick, Karl Rove.
But see if you can follow along with this. Okay, maybe it's... I'm not even saying
but
it's
I don't,
her daughters.
I don't know that I want to believe that this baby's not hers. I need a little more evidence than that.
But Mark, usually with a Down syndrome baby, it's not unusual for a woman to become hydramniotic. That means that you have excessive amniotic fluid. When there's something wrong with the baby, there are telltale signs.
Okay.
The woman showed no signs of pregnancy. I looked at photos and video. There was no sign there. And in your eighth month of pregnancy, I can guarantee you, you've got a tummy, especially after you've had four children. There was no sign of that here. I think maybe if it wasn't her daughters, that some of this was planned. They adopted a child with Down syndrome.
Wow.
And that this has been in the plot all along. Yeah.
Wow. Now, I hadn't even thought of that.
Now, that's just my theory. But
right, I understand.
The plastic princess is coming out here, you know, and she makes wild statements, and she goes on the attack, and as soon as somebody says something that's innocuous at best, she comes up and goes, oh, he attacked me because I'm a female.
Right.
I'm a girl.
But what's fascinating is that 6 months ago, she complained that Hillary Clinton was whining about sexist comments.
Well, sure, but this is the whole straw man theory. You know, you build it up, there's nothing there, and it's oh, you know, look, they're picking on me. I'm a good Christian girl. She's a plastic princess. By the way, she didn't get
Miss... calling for her. Explain that. I get her. She's a phony. I've known many phonies in my life. I actually don't find her that hard to understand. She's an extremely ambitious phony who will do anything to get elected and actually has a real nasty streak. You know, I can think of a bunch of names that I might call her, or even a man that does the same thing. It's not a sexist thing. But, okay, there are all kinds of jerks in human life. Why are people falling for it?
Because she's a charming jerk, Mark. She knows how to charm some people. She appeals to the mean crowd, the crowd in school that looked over at the other people and said, you know, you're not quite good enough to hang out with me.
Okay, but those Republicans anyway. We didn't have their vote.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that the polls are inaccurate.
Well, they may be. I'm hoping this is just – here's what I'm hoping for, that this is a bounce, as they say, that women who were – independent, and these aren't really Democrats so much, tend to be women who are not that involved in politics, that are fairly independent. They looked, they were excited for a moment, but now they're going to find out the truth about her and back away. That's my hope. But my fear is, when I read these articles about, you know, Sarah Palin is every woman, that, oh, she's flawed, and oh, she has kids, and oh, you know, I have trouble, you know, with my work home life too, and hey, she went to six different colleges, and maybe I didn't graduate, and who wants all these intellectual elitists from, you know, Harvard anyway? She's simple. It's this idea, I think, and I think it helped Bush, that if I'm smarter than the President of the United States, that's the president I want. I want a president just like me, who doesn't really understand what's going on in the world and is trying the best he or she can.
But see, the last few years has proven that theory wrong.
Well, I know,
and
but the people are buying it.
Well, I don't think so. I think the average, everyday person has been bitten by this in a bad way. That's why I'm saying I don't think that the polls are accurate. There isn't anything appealing because, you know, she had trouble and she's got a family. Okay, she's pro-life and she's a
even
mom.
Even in case of rape and incest.
And she's
not pro-life. She's pro-way out there life. A 12-year-old girl gets raped by her father, and Sarah Palin would force that 12-year-old to have a child against her will. This is not just pro-life. This is extreme pro-life.
Well, see, and she's making her daughter marry a boy who on his MySpace page said that he didn't want kids. Am I going to force my daughter into a marriage that more than likely is going to go bust?
Of course it is. He doesn't want it, and apparently she didn't want it either, according to, and I know it's not necessarily the best source in the world, but there is a National Enquirer article out about all of this. I hope we'll find out how some of this is true. But according to them, Bristol didn't want the wedding. Levi didn't want the wedding. They both have to do it because his mother's the vice president. And the deal was this. Sarah Palin came very hard down on her daughter, locked her out of the house, and said, here's what we're doing. You're going to go to the convention, hold the baby in front of where you're showing, and then afterwards you can have a quiet marriage. Then we're going to announce that you're married and pregnant. That's the deal. And Bristol, according to the National Enquirer, said, no, Mom, I don't want to do that. And Enquirer then called the family, according to them, told the Palins that they were going to tell this story. Bristol apparently told some of her friends they were going to say that Bristol was pregnant. And that's when, at the last moment, hours before the National Enquirer went to press, that's when Palin disclosed about her daughter's pregnancy. But apparently neither Levi nor Bristol wants the wedding. This is a true shotgun marriage, parents forcing kids against their will to get married.
But see, that goes to show flawed logic right there. The woman doesn't know what a VP does until someone tells her. Then she's forcing her daughter to get married. She is everything. She is
the bad mother.
She's not just a bad mom. She can't even work with her family. And by the way, she has five kids and she's so pro-life. Does that mean she only had sex with her husband five times?
Yes.
Well, I suggest that her husband take up a...
No, of course not. I don't think she's telling the truth, but we know that she got pregnant we know that she gave birth to her first son some 7 or 8 months after she was married. I think it's highly likely that the child was conceived before marriage. I don't know for sure. He could have been a preemie.
Alaska's cold.
And I don't blame her, but she wants to take away those rights from everybody else. Listen, it's not about her daughter. Don't touch the family. I'm not blaming the daughter at all. If anything, I'm defending the daughter.
Exactly.
And the boy against their mom. I mean, she was 16.
Look.
When she got pregnant. 16. And now her mom's going to make her get married?
If you're going to be a good parent, you're going to look at your children. You're going to give them information. No, I don't want any of my kids to have sex before they're ready. But if they do, I'm not going to nail them to the wall and go out and have a cigarette and a drink on the veranda. I'm not going to make my child a martyr. They're human. Everybody's human. Everybody makes mistakes.
Right.
But our government wants to make mistakes, punish us, and then walk away. This is a domestic violence situation. And now we're going to try to vote in a guy who is a POW and more than likely suffers from PTSD, which makes him mentally incompetent to be commander-in-chief.
One of the things we do know about him is he sure is a gambler. This is something I've talked about before on my show. I talked about it before he chose Sarah Palin. Obama is known to be cool and calculated. In fact, some Democrats are afraid he's too cool right now, but he's known that, he likes to play poker. Nickel-dime stakes, not huge stakes.
Yeah.
But before he makes a move, Obama is known, has been told by his friends, he carefully considers what to do and then, forcibly makes his move. That's how Obama acts. That's how he makes decisions. He carefully considers all the different options, and then makes his move. McCain's exactly the opposite. McCain goes to Vegas, goes to craps table, and literally throws thousands of dollars down on one roll of the dice, rolls the dice. If he gets a lucky roll of the dice, he gets the money, gets his adrenaline rush. If not, oh well, he just lost $5,000. He's got plenty of it from his father-in-law, Cindy McCain, the second wife, is a beer heiress. He left his first wife, of course, after she was disfigured in a car accident because, well, she got fat.
He's a great guy.
And then the family values crowd is, look. One thing about Bill Clinton, it's true. He didn't have the nicest family life. We know that. Fine. And the family values crowd was all over him on it. But Barack Obama and Joe Biden, if you're looking purely for family, not on the issue, you're looking solely on good to their spouses, good to their children, a good father, if that's why you're voting for president, you can't pick better parents than Obama and Biden. You can't pick worse parents, worse husbands and wives than McCain or Sarah Palin, who, according to National Enquirer, has been sleeping around, by the way. That's going to come out in a couple days.
She's going to get pregnant again?
Well, and the family values crowd, the same one that wants to ban abortions and not teach kids about contraception, the same crowd, I should note, that wants to have very low statutory rape laws. Let me make clear what I'm saying. Levi, Bristol's boyfriend, it appears, was 18 years old at the time of conception. She was 16, okay? According to the laws in 11 states, thankfully for them, not Alaska, I've looked this up. According to the laws in 11 states, he was 18 in a month, she was 16 in 9 months. That is statutory rape. That's a felony.
Yes.
It happened in Georgia with an African-American 18-year-old who had sex with a 16-year-old. They threw him in jail.
Sure.
For a long period of time. Janarla Wilson was his name. She may have been 15. But in Alaska, if you're 15, it's statutory rape, not if you're 16. Look, you know, if you want to make a fine or something for that, that's okay to me. But to take an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old and throw them in jail for having sex,
it's kind of insane.
And to call it rape, that's the other thing, calling it rape. Look, I mean, if an 18-year-old is with a 12-year-old, I'm more than willing to call it rape. You know, or if a 9-year-old is with a 16-year-old. But an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old, give me a break. I mean, these are just kids having sex. And what's fascinating to me is the fundamentalist evangelical Christians, the exact same people that Sarah Palin is a part of, are the ones that have been arguing for stricter and stricter statutory rape laws. If he's 18 in a month and she's 16 in 11 months, that's rape. Throw the guy in jail. And now, when their candidate for vice president has exactly that situation, which it's not illegal in Alaska. I checked it. It would be if she were 15, not since she's 16. But it is illegal in 11 mostly southern states. Now that she's in that situation, who among the evangelicals are saying, well, that's rape, throw the boy in jail? I haven't heard Dobson say that. I haven't heard Robertson say that. Why aren't they saying that?
But they live under
hypocrites.
No, they live under different rules. It's not do as I do as I say. And here's Occam's razor, okay? The president is supposed to be the father or possibly the mother of our country, right?
Right.
Well, which person do you want to be your parent? Because they're going to force you into some choices that aren't going to be good, and it's going to affect not only you, but your friends, your children, because you don't have to have a child to have maternal instinct. And that's the whole thing. This country has gone to hell in a handbasket. It's not coming out anytime soon. Our troop level is staying solid in Iraq and will probably end up ballooning out. And these people are running amok. I don't want the drama that they bring to it. I think they're going to try to steal the elections. I think that they put Barbie up there to do her thing. And quite honestly, anybody that's impressed with her, I think they need some meds. Geodon's out, and it's great for psychosis.
I tell you, though, no, I'm reading, I'm talking to these women, and I'm trying to understand. And by the way, let me give out the phone numbers, because maybe one of our very brilliant listeners will have more insight into this than either you or I have. It's 877-4-HEAD-ON, of course, 877-443-2366. Do not hesitate to call in. Even if you're a man, it's okay, though I'd really like to hear some women. And see if you can explain. Not Palin. We get her. We all know where she is. You know, she's a lying fundamentalist. We've seen her type before. But where her supporters come from, and specifically the 10%, I get the Republican women who are already going to vote for McCain who are jazzed up. I get them. I really do. I understand, of course, the women who are continuing to support Obama. I understand Hillary supporters who are disappointed but are still going to vote for Obama. I get all those. That's 90%. But the 10% of white women in the Washington Post poll, if it's accurate, that switched from Obama to McCain because of Palin, please, someone, psychoanalyze them and help me understand what these women are thinking, because I'm having trouble. So I just want to give out the number. Should we take a break? Maybe let somebody call in? What do you think, Annie? Agnes?
Sounds good to me. I was answering.
Take a 1 minute break. Just give people a chance to call in. If not, well, you and I will.
I was answering the phone.
Oh, okay. Oh, we have a caller. Well,
yes, we do. Hold on
let's
1 second.
Let's go right to our caller then. I guess I'll talk.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
Fine. Yeah, it's the same kind of women that will fight over Cabbage Patch Kids.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, trust me. You know, and I love my child more than you love your child.
Mm-hmm. And my child's better than your child at
exactly.
Whatever.
Or they'll kill the other kid who happened to become a captain of the cheerleading squad.
Oh, right. There was a woman, I think, in Texas, right?
Yeah. One of those.
Very hateful mom, yes.
Yeah, you know, it's this thing of trying to be super mom, and this is why, you know, and that's what they're appealing to, you know, the soccer mom, the security mom, the hockey mom, it's all in the same lot, you know.
But they,
I'm
they
the
don't
greatest mom in the world.
It's all symbols, Kevin? It's not issues at all?
No. And I tell you, someone like her, and I said this to Guy, it's office politics 101. Okay, it's basically, there's a certain, and please don't get offended by this, Agnes, there's a certain group of women out there who feel the world owes them something because they spawned. Everybody spawned.
I don't get offended by that. That's
spawn? What word?
Because you give birth.
Spawn, have children.
Oh, S-P-A-A-W-N, like a creature? Okay, all right.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that in a very sarcastic way.
But look, here's the thing. And Kevin, and I think you're African-American, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, well, here, let me ask you this. Because I saw this, I got to say, I'm going to turn the table a little bit. I saw this among some Hillary supporters, who I'm complaining about now, but I also saw it among some Obama supporters who were saying to me, kind of like these Hillary supporters, if Hillary wins, you know, I'm so upset I'm going to vote for McCain. And it was a very, very close race. There was a time when we didn't know who was going to win, who was not going to win. And I assume you, Kevin, I was just as harsh on the African-American identity politics people as the female identity politics people. And I'll just throw one out for my own people. As a Jew, I would never vote for Joe Lieberman the way he is now. I didn't know, before I picked him 8 years ago.
Well,
yes, he's Jewish, but no, he doesn't represent me. There are Jews that represent me, Barbara Boxer. I would vote for her gladly. But I'm not going to vote for Joe Lieberman just because he's Jewish. No women should vote for Palin just because she's a woman. And frankly, no African-Americans, if Obama had lost to Hillary Clinton, should have been so upset that they would consider voting for McCain.
Well, that and, you know, you're a thinking, intelligent person. Like, my original support was for Kissinger and Ed.
Okay.
You know, Barack Obama was like number three on my, you know, actually number four, because it was, my pecking order was Edwards, Kucinich, Hillary Clinton, then Obama. Because
wow.
I did not think, in all honesty, and in the pure political, whatever you want to call it, he had Ice Cube's chance in hell.
Because of racism, Kevin?
Because racism is so inbred now. As an
American,
I am very proud that he's running, and I'm like, you go. And I'm talking about my mindset last year this time.
Right.
Okay?
Funny, I got my first choice. I had a very hard decision between, and for me from the beginning, it was Clinton. Actually, I liked Chris Dodd, but he didn't last very long. But after Iowa and New Hampshire, it was, to me, between Clinton and Obama, and I had a very tough choice, and then I finally chose Obama. But these identity politics really starts to annoy me. And I was thinking back, Clarence Thomas was chosen in 1992. And there were some, not many, but there were some African-American groups and even organizations at that time, I remember them, that said, well, he sounds awful, he sounds like a bad person, but, I mean, the guy's black, how bad could he be to black people? And, of course,
Clarence Thomas, that's how bad he can be.
Well, exactly. I mean, he's worse to black people than Scalia.
There are,
and that's hard to be.
Within the black community, you have the certain, and I guess to me, it's like, well, I'd rather have a black guy rot for me than a white guy. But the common bottom denominator is that you're still rot.
Well, exactly. And when you have a...
I really don't get that mindset, but...
Then to me, it's all the same. It's all the same. Whether we're talking about, you know, blacks and Clarence Thomas, women and Sarah Palin, or Jews and Joe Lieberman, just to throw my own group into the mix, it's this idea that, well, they're of the same X as me, and therefore, how bad can they do? And to me, the classic example is Clarence Thomas. Look how much bad he can do. Are you kidding me?
But see, there's a point here that everyone has their own agenda. They have their own cliques. And they're reaching out for something. They're not supporting Palin because of Hillary. They're supporting Palin because of her sex. That's it.
Well, right.
And apparently they weren't
supporting Hillary because of Hillary.
Exactly.
Either.
Exactly.
Well,
because Hillary.
Supporting Palin, and sorry to disagree with you, because they want to maintain the lifestyle that they have. Okay? There's great comfort in being the suburban soccer mom. Life is very simple. You don't have to think too much. And you don't have to, and I don't mean to sound like a sexist, you don't have to, you're quite insulated. You don't have to think that deep. You know,
but
why would Obama change that? They can still keep their soccer mom lives.
Well, there's another.
But I think Obama, to a certain degree, and Democrats on a whole, especially when the labor faction starts coming in, they're going to start saying, well, you know what? Things at Walmart are going to start going up because, you know what? We got to raise the minimum wage. And we got to start.
Kevin, those women would be Republicans, all right? I mean, I understand there are people out there. I'm not denying that those people, but those women would already be Republicans. The women I'm getting at is that small sliver of white women, that 10% that switched. Those are the ones, and they make the difference in this very close election. That's another reason why they really concern me. It's not the Republican women. But the
I think with them, they're going to turn over. Once they see the abortion thing,
They'll
come to their senses.
So Obama needs to run hard-hitting abortion ads, talking about a woman being raped and then saying that, you know, Palin would take the choice away from a child who's been raped.
Exactly. So he needs to hit hard on the abortion.
Well, there's something else
there. What do you think about that, Annie?
I think that the abortion issue will probably make a big wave. But when we were talking about the soccer moms, here's the thing. The economy has tanked so badly that foreclosure on homes is rampant. It's not just hitting the lower class. It's hitting the middle class. It's hitting the upper class.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, but...
But all these people are feeling the crunch. Now,
but, Agnes, foreclosure, as awful as it is affecting, 5%, 7% of Americans, and they were already Democrats. I think a lot of Americans are like, well, my house is not being foreclosed on, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say that.
But see, they're starting to see that. They're starting to worry about it. See, Palin makes babies cry. It's that's the effect I have here because I've already told her about her. But the sad thing of it is people are seeing this. The middle class is seeing this, and believe it or not, they really do worry.
Oh, yeah, well, I worry. But the thing is, we're such a me-oriented society, and I think...
Exactly. If we come together...
I want to hear y'all's strategies. I mean, Kevin's given me a good one. I like that. A really hard-hitting abortion ad. Show a girl been raped and say, Palin says, what would you do?
But Mark, if
you were advising Obama?
You're talking about a country that has watched war continuously over the last few years.
The media doesn't show it. They don't show the graves at Arlington because Bush won't allow them to. I can't think of the last time I saw a blown up body on TV from Iraq.
But people are seeing this on a more personal level. Just the little town we live in, there are a lot of vets coming back. There's a lot of vets getting ready to go, and the strain on the families is monumental. People are seeing this, and they're numb to it.
I think it is numb. I remember just when I was in Denver, I flew through Dallas to the Democratic National Convention, and I was surprised to see so many vets with missing limbs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I had seen some, but it seemed to me like for every 10 vets I saw a man or a woman with no leg or a hook arm. And, yeah. I mean, I've seen so many people. I must have seen 12 people. I mean, it's rare to see someone with a hook arm or a leg. And, yeah. You know, you try not to stare. They were all wearing uniforms.
Well, go to Washington, because I used to live in Washington. Last year this time I was living in Washington. And go along the Bethesda Hospital, Walter Reed. Yeah. Anywhere around that neighborhood, you'll see them in the Starbucks. You'll see them all over.
See, that's what I mean. People are seeing it. But the one thing that folks are doing is they're getting off in their cliques. If you come together on the big things, the small things will work themselves out. Everyone is getting to the point that they're isolating themselves and they're working on their own agenda. And nobody is going to win out. Go ahead, Mark.
No, I was going to say, everyone's living in their own alternative universes. They're living in their own world. The veterans are upset, but the war is hardly being talked about at all. I mean, no.
That's because it's getting ready to go to Iran.
Oh,
I'll give you an idea. My next-door neighbor goes back to Iraq in December. He is a Democrat. He's a good boy. To me, he's a boy.
What's he, 20 years old?
About 28, something like that. And he's a state trooper. Now, being a child, you know, we're talking, and I looked at him and I said, you know, is this what you want? How do you feel about this? I really worry about you. I have no choice. It's my job. That's
right.
The way
they
made
him
feel.
Then he's thinking, you know, hey, I can't. This is actually another. It's all psychology. It's fascinating. I did another show about this a few months ago. The veterans don't want to think the war is a bad idea, even if they know it in their subconscious. Because otherwise, how can they get up every morning? How can they load and clean their gun every morning? How can they go out on the Iraqi streets every morning if they don't believe they're trying to do something good? So they can't think outside the box. They can't think politically because psychologically, it is virtually impossible for a human being to get up every day and do something that they hate. And that's why suicides have tripled. There's now more than 100 each year. And people, and so now the vets vote, and they almost vote against their own interests because they have to believe in the war. Otherwise, what have they spent 2 years fighting and dying and losing a limb for? It must be right. It must be right, they tell themselves.
This is where I think having a global view comes into hand. There are other countries people can live in. Okay? And me, like I said to my mother as recently as last night, if McCain wins, I plan on making a life for myself elsewhere, outside the United States. Because I'm telling you, like Guy J said, whatever happens afterwards, this country deserves it, and I don't want to be around when it happens. Mm-hmm. And this is the cold, hard reality.
Kevin.
You know, there are other places. And this is one thing which has impressed me with Barack Obama, is that he has that globalized view.
Oh, yeah.
He has a globalized view.
And the world is praying. I mean, I was reading an article just the other day, and they're saying, look, we can understand if America, you know, went crazy for 8 years and voted for this awful, awful guy. We've been saying for the past 8 years, it's not America. Don't blame America. It's this wacko named George Bush and his vice president, Dick Cheney. But if America continues the way it's gone for the last 8 years, these people write, then we'll have to realize it ain't Bush. It ain't the Republicans. It's us. It's Americans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, the thing is,
the world will turn against.
Yeah, my adventure through the Midwest is that America, for a great chunk of it, is still very much isolated. A lot of people don't leave their state, much less the country, and that's their world view. You know, it's about us. You know, we're number one, you know, USA.
Very, very true.
Hold
on 1 second. After you finish that thought, Kevin, I have another caller on the line.
Oh, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
But But finish your thought, and then thank you very much for calling in, Kevin.
Well, I'm going to let you guys go and let that other caller get a chance. But it's been great talking to you. It's been a long time, Agnes.
Oh, Kevin, it's good talking to you.
Okay, then. Have a good
one. It is just having Agnes Kincaid on my show. This is the first formal time I've done it, and of course, those of you that have heard me on Bob's show know that I have this. I wouldn't call it secret because I've talked about it on the air, but it's sort of a love affair with this woman I've never met. I've never met Agnes in person, but I just love her sensibility. I love our conversations. She's a fantastic woman, and it's a pleasure to have you on today. And I just want to make sure I say that.
Well,
let's get to our other caller.
Hold on 1 second. Hi, Juanita. How are you?
Hi. Is this for me?
Yes, it is.
It is. We need
Juanita.
Another woman's perspective. Help us out, Juanita.
Okay. For one thing, see, I was raised in the dark ages of the late 50s.
Where were you raised, Juanita?
That's what we're going back to. And I was so ignorant, and I was about, like, sex and everything. And even the parents didn't know what to tell you. You know, and I just don't like what it's turning around. And we had, back then, there were girls that were having these, they were getting married, and 2 or 3 months later, they were having these 8-pound preemies. You know what I'm saying? That's what the family would say, and they expect people to believe it.
Juanita, where'd you grow up?
Huh?
What state did you grow up in?
Well, this is Florida.
Florida. The northern part of Florida that's part of the South?
Pardon?
Was it in the panhandle of Florida? Oh, I'm sorry. You're having trouble hearing me, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Just wanted to know where in Florida.
No, I'm not the panhandle, no.
Where did you grow up, Juanita?
So there's some panhandle people down here. I'm in the middle part.
Where were you born?
Where was I born?
Yes.
Oh, Georgia.
Ah, okay. And back in the 50s...
I came down here as a baby.
Oh, okay. But back in the 50s, it was considered a bad family that had babies out of wedlock or prematurely, right?
And it was... there was one woman, she was just about to have a hiss about her daughter. She was honest about her daughter being pregnant when she got married, and she just, it was just horrified her, you know. Now it's so commonplace. We have, the neighborhood I have, we have a lot of 14-year-old girls that have their babies, you know. Of course, they're not married. Some of them are married, but most of them aren't.
And
it's not just one race, either. This is white and black.
In Florida?
There's a lot of whites.
I guess I'm just curious, Juanita, how you grew up in this life. You grew up in a life in many ways somewhat similar to Sarah Palin's. How did you escape intellectually? I don't mean necessarily escape the location, but how did you open your mind? And maybe you can give us some insight into how we can open other women's minds, particularly that 10% that seems to be going, you know, off the cliff to support Palin.
Well, I think... honesty is, and I do believe that openness about things. You know, kids hear all kind of stuff, and I would rather they know the truth than, you know, I don't know if that's what you're talking about. But
well, I want to know how to reach out to the women. I want to know how you decided in your life that you were going to escape. I mean, you're listening to the horn, so you've got to be an open-minded, somewhat intellectual woman.
I was raised liberal, my daddy and mother. My daddy was very outspoken, and in fact, Bob reminds me of him, you know, his humor and everything. He called Eisenhower.
Well, I guess I'm curious. Okay, so you got it naturally in your family. Do you have any insight?
The way I got waylaid was after I lost my folks and everything, and I was a single mother. I got in a terrible shape physically and mentally, and I was seeking something, and I got into the right wing thing through Pat Robertson. And I tried to live that way, and it just didn't work for me because I had that liberalism in me. So I decided I'd be what I was. And I felt guilty for a long time because they'd tell you you're going to go to hell, you know.
Right.
So, but for a long time I felt guilty, but I thought, well, I'm going to be truthful. You know, I don't think God's impressed with a hypocrite.
There you go.
But yeah, I've gone through a lot of evolution, you know, and I have gone through a lot of mental problems.
Well,
so,
Juanita, here's what I'm trying to get at, and I hope you can help me here. I'm trying to figure out how, if I were an advisor to the Obama campaign, how is the best way to reach out to these white women in the middle, the ones who are somewhat fickle in their choices, the ones who are excited by Palin? You know, I think, some of these people. You know their mindset. What would you do if you were sitting talking with one of these women one-on-one? What would you tell her to convince her that McCain-Palin is not in her interest?
Well, I would... problem now is history hasn't been taught. You know, what they don't know what they're in for. Like Kevin said, he was going to move, you know. And, you know, because they don't know what they're in for. And I think some kind of an education. Like, for instance, on voting fraud, I think they should show the hearings that they had on C-SPAN about Florida with NAACP. I know that's off the subject, but still,
there's
so much ignorance. You got to start educating people.
Right.
The only way to do it is to get it on.
I was going to say, I don't think these women are going to turn on C-SPAN. I just don't see them going home in between, you know, the baby feedings and the soccer practice and flipping on C-SPAN to watch election reform. I mean, you know there's nothing I care about more than election reform, but I think we need another way to reach out to these women.
But I think they're being selfish because they don't know what's going to happen, and it may backfire on them. I don't know, and I think maybe some of it's prejudice, too.
Well, I think it comes down to brass tacks. It's not about talking to women or talking to men. It's about talking to people. When someone talks to me, I don't want them to talk to me because I'm a woman or not speak to me because I'm a woman. My gender has nothing to do with it. I'm a person first.
Yeah.
And when someone is talking to me and they're looking at my chest, which there's not much there, I have no idea why they look, but, you know, I don't respect that person. They could tell me the sky was falling and I'd go check. Talk to me as a person. And I think that goes for everyone. You know, there are people who will talk to others and they are elitists. They'll talk down to them or ignore them. That's one of the problems with the current caste system. And we do have a caste system.
Yeah.
It's really bad when someone who is poor looks down on another person for being poor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But you see it all around, and I know Juanita knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
So what it comes down to is when you speak to someone, you need to speak to them about what's going on. You take an interest in what's in their life. That's where you make a point. When you ignore people's lives and you follow your own agenda, then nothing's going to come of it. It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
That's what Bill Clinton did. He could do that. He could go into diners and houses and farms and sit down at the kitchen table and talk with people and do exactly... I mean, Agnes, you're absolutely right. That's what needs to be done. It has to be done person to person, home to home, grassroots. I hope Obama's grassroots army... One of the things I'm afraid of is that a lot of them are very idealistic young people. And I just don't think a 55-year-old woman is going to want to listen to a 19-year-old girl, sorry,
at least
but
that's
young,
true.
Young woman, when she tells her who to vote for. I mean, she's going to need another 55-year-old woman or a 70-year-old woman or someone who's a little, you know, more experienced in their life.
You might be surprised there, though.
Really?
Really. I mean, my mother used to tell me about reading comics where Buck Rogers went to the moon. And then, in her lifespan, that came to fruition. There was a moon landing. Things were fantastic to her. But I've found with having older parents, if you speak to someone with respect, you listen to what they have to say, and you take those pointers. I don't care if you're 5 years old, 10 years old. If you have an understanding of what's going on, they're going to listen.
See, you're a very open-minded person. I guess my question is someone who, I guess I can never enter a closed mind, but maybe one that's mostly closed, you know, has a door that crack open. How do we pry in that mind and say, look, you know, just listen. Just look at the world around you. You know, you don't have to accept everything I say. Maybe we'll disagree on abortion, for example. But look at the environment. Look at energy. Look at the economy. Look at the war. You know,
Mark, a closed mind is usually a mind that has been ignored, and that's why it becomes that hardened. If you can find...
You show the person a lot of love, huh?
Well, no, not love. I'm kind of past that point in my life.
All right.
But if you find common ground, if you listen to them... I mean, I've seen some really, really nasty conservatives, and... I'll look at them and go, well, you know, if you're going to be an ass, why should I talk to you? If you've got something to say and you can prove to me your point, I'll listen. But you need to give me the very same respect. Now, sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. But I think overall, the general populace, it's going to work. People are tired of this.
Well, I to me, what this inspires me to do, we're running out of time, and I want to thank Juanita. Thank you very much for calling in. I really
do.
You're
welcome.
Thank you, Juanita. It was really nice talking to you.
Okay.
I want to thank Kevin, too. But to me, Annie, what you've told me, what I've learned from you this hour, and from Juanita and from Kevin, is we really have to redouble our efforts to have those person-to-person conversations with our family, with our colleagues, with our neighbor. We all know people who we associate with. Maybe they're acquaintances, not friends, but people we work with. You know, cousins, family members, people we don't always see eye to eye with politically. And we need to sit down and find out what their concerns are and show them that, you know what, Obama meets your concerns. Unless you're a multimillionaire, Obama will help you. You know, he doesn't raise taxes. He wants to cut your taxes. Don't believe them when they say that. They care about the environment. Whatever your issue is, just you got to make that personal, and that's something that hopefully all our listeners can do, and you can encourage your friends to do, and we've got to do it because this election is so close. I can't sleep at night,
and I
just want to appeal to our listeners to do that, to talk to someone, even someone you don't know so well, and help them, particularly if you live in one of these swing states like I live in, Virginia. You got to do your part.
Mark, thank you for having me on the scene for this afternoon.
Oh, it's been
really enjoy it.
Pleasure. And I knew it was a good topic, and I knew you'd be great. Thank you, Annie. And thank you for all the work you do behind the scenes. I don't know that all the listeners realize how much incredibly hard work it is, day after day, behind the boards and taking the calls and making sure the music works and the commercial works and the bumpers work and the timers work. And I'm going over time just saying it.
That's
thank you from the bottom of my heart for all you do for The Horn, Agnes Kincaid.
And thank you for being a part of The Horn.
My pleasure. That's it for the Inside Scoop. I hope you've enjoyed it. Coming up, I guess, is it a rerun today, Annie? Or is Bob going to be live?
No, it'll be a replay.
Oh, that's
Bob will be back tomorrow.
That's good. So you can hear Bob tomorrow. Thank you, everyone. This is Mark Levine signing off.